I was not on mute, or I was on mute. Apologies. Hi, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon. This week, we are starting on week three of the online course, looking at PEPFAR data and really trying to contrast the way that PEPFAR data work in relation to how other funders work and how Global Fund works, and looking at sort of the detailed data that I think we get from PEPFAR that's a little different from what we get from a lot of the other funders. So that's why we call this the PEPFAR way and what it is. Just before we get started, I wanted to check in, and people can put this into the chat box or unmute yourselves and just ask questions. Just wanted to see if anybody is having any problems accessing the course, anything related to the online platform with Engage, anything there. One thing I will note, if people do have questions, is Austin and I have talked, and we are going to get everybody's assignments from week one and week two back by the end of this week. And then we will just commit to having them back by the following Friday of every week. So please continue to do them. Please continue to submit them. They're really important, and they are required for getting the course certification at the end of the course. So just on that, just want to check if anybody is having any issues accessing the online content before we move on. Hearing none, I'm going to move on then. So as I said, this week we're really talking about PEPFAR, and I want to go through sort of just as a brief overview of the different data systems that exist within PEPFAR. And we categorize these into a few different sort of buckets that you see here. Devote, I see your comment. I will check in on your account and make sure we can figure out the inactive part of the submission. So in terms of PEPFAR data, there are a few buckets where we categorize things into sort of annual planning documents and strategies that they employ and how they utilize data as part of that annual strategy building and annual planning, and also what that provides us in terms of data. There's monitoring and evaluation data that comes out. I think these are the things that we're probably as Compass most familiar seeing. And then there's long-term planning. So under the annual planning data, people will be familiar with this, the strategic direction summaries, the country operational plans, and then one thing we will talk a little bit about is the new financial classification system, which used to be the expenditure analysis system. Monitoring and evaluation, there's the MER, which is monitoring, evaluation, and reporting system. There's also the SIMS, which is the site improvement through monitoring system. And then there is the sustainability index and dashboard that goes into long-term planning. So just briefly on what all of these different things do. So on the annual planning, the strategic direction summary, these are relatively new. They were introduced in COP14, so 6 years ago now. And what they provide is the logical argument for how the COP is going to play out. They're sort of the narrative portion of the country operational plan process. And they provide country level HIV program data, so some of that high level epidemiological information. They provide information about who's funding what within the HIV space, so whether PEPFAR is funding different line items, whether Global Fund is, or whether the domestic government is. As well as other funders. There is some of this that is unique in the SDS that we don't get elsewhere, particularly from from PEPFAR as relates to its health system strengthening portfolio. We don't get a lot of information out of that unless we look at the SDS in this table six that I think those of us who have been in Johannesburg have become familiar with as an important piece. And then we get some unique information about how PEPFAR is approaching key populations and approaching size estimates in particular with key populations. And the epidemiological information around key populations and how they strategize around that. So that's strategic direction summaries. The budget and target reports are sort of complementary to the SDS. They used to be the basically the entirety of the country operational plans before 2014. Since 2014, that with the division between the SDS providing sort of the narrative and the logical explanation of how the plan is going to go forward, the budget and target reports now really just define how the budget is being broken into for every individual country, who is getting that funding, so which implementing partner, what their budget codes are in terms of which functions they're going to do, whether they're looking at treatment, whether they're looking at prevention, whether they're looking at VMMC programs versus adolescent girls and young women programs. All of those sorts of things exist within the budget codes, and we can see which partners are responsible for each individual program within a country. It's also the only place where we get really identifiable information on which partners are assigned to work in these areas. From the MERS system, which we'll talk about in a second, we get information about implementing partners, but we only get them in an anonymized way. So we don't know which partner is being assigned which responsibilities, which geographic areas, or which targets. We do get that from the budget and target reports. So some of those target information is really valuable because it allows us to dive in deep on who is really responsible for some of this. I apologize, there's some construction noise here. So if you're hearing that, I apologize that's going on. The next piece is this, the financial classification system that was introduced in 2018. So this has both budgets. This is the first time we've seen sort of the harmonization within PEPFAR of both tracking budgeting, which we've already talked about in the country operational plan process, as well as how expenditures are being done. Under the old system that existed, the expenditure analysis system, what it did was budget codes on the budget side were developed separately from how the expenditure analysis system was going to work. This is much more detailed now, where we can follow individual line items between how much was being budgeted for and how much ended up getting expended on that individual line item. This is really powerful because it just gives us new opportunities to see which programs, after they've been budgeted and put in place and were meant to be implemented, which ones we're actually seeing get spent down, and whether we're seeing shifts in money from some programs that we had negotiated budgeting for to other line items, whether the treatment budget is overtaking some of the prevention budget. We can see all of that playing out now within the way the financial classification system works. It's really powerful. It's much more detailed than what the old expenditure analysis system was. And so, there's key pieces here that we can look at of things like how much funding is going into PrEP, how much money is going into human resources for health, how much is going into ARV procurement, but it's only available at the national level. And that's just something to keep in mind. It contains some sensitive information within the system, and that's partially why PEPFAR does not make it available at the implementing partner level, though we are hoping to improve that in the future. And Austin's going to go over the databases on how to access this information in a bit. The MERS system, I think this is the one that everybody is most familiar with. This is where we see the quarterly port data coming from. So the TX new and the HTS TSD pause, the VMMC cert, the PP prev, the KP prev, all of those indicators come out of this system called the MER system, the Monitoring, Evaluation, and Reporting system. So this is the core way that PEPFAR really looks at its own performance. This is the what they report to Congress. This is what they report to all the other agencies that they report to. It's also the main way that they look at partner performance and determine how do we flex our budget, move our budget around, make sure that we're hitting on all of the pieces that we're supposed to be hitting on. The thing to keep in mind is that it's a tally-based system, meaning it's just counting the number of services. It's not necessarily counting individuals. It's not necessarily counting, and it's definitely not counting the quality of services that are being delivered. That's not really looked at. And we get these, as everybody knows, on a quarterly basis for most indicators. For some indicators, we only get them every other quarter, like with KP data. And we also get, and we also only get some indicators on an annual basis. We do get these at the district and facility level, and that's really useful because we can actually use that facility level data. Though the facilities are anonymized, we can use that facility level data to start looking at where do we need to think about if linkage is low in particular facilities, is that a place to deploy something like community-led monitoring? If we're seeing poor performance in some facilities, is that where we want to send community-led monitoring to assess and follow up on what's happening? The SIM system is sort of the complementary piece to the MER system. So SIM stands for Site Improvement Through Monitoring System. And it's really a system built around doing quality assurance and monitoring that the facilities that are implementing PEPFAR programming or receive PEPFAR support are doing so in accordance with either government guidelines and standards or with PEPFAR's own government standards. It's not limited just to assessing the PEPFAR-funded activities in those facilities. It's really more of a comprehensive assessment of a facility as a whole, rather than just sort of the PEPFAR piece that's being funded. It does give us more detail about what may be going wrong in a facility, whether there's protocols being followed, all of these different things that the SIM system looks at. One of the problems that we've had with SIMs, with the exception of Uganda, where Ken, who's on the call here, has been able to get SIMs data from the Uganda team, is SIMS data are very rarely shared or have been very rarely shared until very recently. Last week, PEPFAR actually released all of the SIMS data for the last year on their online platform, just as a big Excel file. We ourselves have not had time to dive into it yet, but we are excited to see at least that improvement in that the data are now becoming available, but they do provide us a good way to start looking at how to utilize some of these quality data to think through whether community-led monitoring is important to supplement, where that community-led monitoring is, and what sort of issues we want to look at within the community-led monitoring. The last piece, and then I'm going to turn it over to Austin to demonstrate where to get some of these data through the platforms that we've built, is the Sustainability Index and Dashboard. This is a policy assessment tool, and I think many of you may have been part of this. It was done again recently, but it's an every other year process that goes on with PEPFAR, where they sit down with civil society, with Ministry of Health officials and others to score how they're doing across a number of different domains on the policy level. And so here we're looking at the SIMS or the SIDS tool from Tanzania, and we're looking at things like the governance, leadership, and accountability, whether there's planning and coordination, civil society engagement, service delivery, all of these issues, and we can track those over time. As I said, it's an every other year process, so it was done as part of COP19. It'll be done again as part of COP21, is the plan. The thing to know about the SIDS is, because it's self-scored and it's not necessarily a rigorous thing, really looking at the questionnaire, which is available online as well, looking at the individual questionnaires is a valuable piece of understanding what these scores mean. Because the score here, it's really hard to understand what does, for private sector engagement, Tanzania going from a 4.86 to a 4.13 to a 9.03, what does that mean? Honestly, it probably doesn't mean much. That's why it's important to get into the actual questionnaire if we want to understand how these SID sort of systems and how the SID scoring really works. So with that, that's sort of the introduction of the overall framework of different data systems that PEPFAR uses. Now I'm going to turn it over to Austin to start going over and showing how the different dashboards work in terms of accessing a lot of these data from PEPFAR. Austin?
Thanks, Brian, and hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us today. So as Brian said, start sharing my screen. As Brian said, I mean, one of the really interesting things about the PEPFAR world is that there is so much data that they generate in sort of like delineated ways that fit into these nice buckets about budgets and expenditures, and on the flip side, the monitoring and results. But another piece of what makes the PEPFAR data world so interesting is that they make so much of that available to the public and to advocates like us, who can go through and just see at a much deeper level than with the Global Fund, like we talked about last week, what exactly was planned to be done, who should be implementing the program, and how those programs are performing. So what I'm going to do today is talk through a couple of resources that we've built to take that information that's released by PEPFAR, sometimes in ways that we think is not helpful in the form that it's in, and turn it into something that is hopefully a lot more useful for you to be able to understand all of those things. So I'll start on the first resource here, which is the COPS database. This is linked to in the online version of the course as well, but it's copsdata.amfar.org. And this is where all of the information that comes from the budgeting process and all of the information that comes from the expenditure reporting process, what Brian was just talking about is the financial classification tool, live in our world. So this is what you see when you come to the main page, just a map of all of the places where PEPFAR has done programming over the years. And the first thing that you see is it's sort of in this default view split into two pieces, where on the left here we have the allocations, which is basically the planned new money into each of these points. And on the right, the expenditures, which has a much shorter time frame. And these last 2 years, 2018 and 2019, are the years where we have this new sort of really fine reporting criteria. So only 2 years of that really good data there. But before I go into that, I think it's important to know, as Brian said, like where this data actually comes from, because there's a lot of other useful information in the documents where it comes from as well. So it comes from PEPFAR's site, the Where We Work site. And they have information on what's happening in the current COP planning cycle. This is their planning letters that they set out at the beginning of the cycle. And then their SDSs, as Brian said, and if you go back to 2018, they also have the budget and target reports, which were not yet released for the COP19 cycle. So those live on the PEPFAR site, but we also bring them onto our site as well. So if you click on the About section up here and go to Sources, and let's look at Malawi for a while today, and just scroll down to Malawi or search for it, you can see the planning letters are here, the approval memos are here, all of the strategic direction summaries, which have a lot of really good information in here, live on that site. So that's sort of the source for all of the budget data. And the SIDs are there as well, which Brian was just talking about. And the financial classification comes from a different site, which we'll look at in a few minutes. But I want to just spend like a few minutes going through what is going on the COPS database and what are the things that you can learn about the program from looking at this resource. So we're going to do Malawi. So oftentimes the most useful thing to do at the beginning is to zoom into one country. So if you just click on the country, you'll be limited to only the resources that have gone into Malawi. You could, if you wanted to, zoom down to 1 year. So let's do that. The last year planning data was available for Malawi was the COP 2018. So if we just hit 2018, what we're going to see is only things that are happening in COP 18 in Malawi. So we can get some really high level information here on the left. What was the planning? How did they plan to use this $137 million that they had in new money to spend in that year?
Veronica, I think you're not muted.
Ryan, you can just hit mute for her if.
Great. There we go.
Great. Thank you. So on the left, we can see some really high-level information about how they're spending the budget. 40% of it, or $54.6 million, going into the treatment program. This is how much they're spending on prevention and care and their testing program, or how much they plan to spend on those things. And we can also see the types of organizations that are receiving that funding. And a little bit further down, some more specifics on, so this is kind of like the big buckets, right? Like treatment, prevention. And down here we can see, okay, well, what type of treatment are you spending on? Is it treatment for adults? Is it treatment for pediatrics? What type of prevention are you doing? Is it PMTCT? Is it VMMC? All of these options here. And we can see how they've dedicated their budget. So let's zoom into the prevention program for a little bit and see what they're spending their money on. If we click on this, we'll only see the money going to prevention in Malawi. And if you ever lose track of where you are, across the top, it will show you. So we're in Malawi, we're looking at prevention, and it's only 2018. So we can see of their prevention budget, they spent over, plan to spend almost 60% of it on circumcision, some of it on PMTCT, and this HVOP, the other sexual prevention, is all sexual prevention, which doesn't fall under the abstinence and be faithful programming. So that includes a lot of condom programming, a lot of KP programming, things like that. And so the next step often is to figure out who is responsible for this programming. Because one of our roles as advocates is not only to know what's supposed to be happening, but know who to talk to if something is not working in that program. So say we are hearing some concerning things about the VMMC programming. being implemented. If I click on CERC here, it's going to limit it only to the circumcision programming. We have a nice description of what exactly that means. But if we go down a little bit further, we can see who, to the extent that they've laid out in the documents, should be implementing that program. So of the $16.5 million, about $5 million, they hadn't decided where it was going to go at the time of these documents were generated. But about $5 million, or a third of it, goes to Johns Hopkins, which is the JPIGO program. 3.6 to John Snow, 2.9 to Chemonix, which is the commodities procurer for PEPFAR. One thing to keep in mind anytime you go through these PEPFAR data is a lot of money ends up falling in this bin, but it's not someone who's doing on the groundwork. It's the company that's buying the commodities and bringing them into country, and a few very small grants to some other ones. So that's who is responsible for circumcision programming in Malawi in 2018, and that's a useful thing that we learned. The other thing that this is often useful for is when we're advocating for investments in a certain area, it's oftentimes useful to know what has been going on, how has the PEPFAR program been spending in that area over time. So, say I'm going to run a campaign in this next year to get an increase in the budget for circumcision funding. One thing that I might want to do is, okay, so in 2018, the budget was 16.5. That's really good to know. How about in other years? So if I unselect 2018, or I just start from the beginning and go into prevention and circumcision, I'll have this nice graph of what was the budget over time, right? And we can see that they didn't actually allocate very much new money from 2015, 2016, 2017. So 2018, this $16.5 million was like a big increase, right? So that's useful to know when I'm advocating. It's not that they've stuck at this one investment level for a very long time. It's that they made a big increase in 2018 from what it looks like. One thing to always be aware of here is in the COP process, basically what they're deciding is what to do with, or what they communicate here is what they've decided to do with new money coming across in that current year. So at the end of each COP cycle, they are going to have some money left over, which they call pipeline, and then they have new money. So the amount that they report is only on the new portion. Sometimes that means we see kind of weird things like what we're seeing here in 2017, where this is saying that the Malawi circumcision program spent $1 in 2017, which is not really what happened. They had some other funds in either this program area or in another program area that they carried over from the previous year, so 2017. It just means it's a little hard to track from year to year like this, but we can still say that this amount that they put in 2018 is substantially more than they put in before. I think that's all I want to cover on the budgeting side. Oh, actually, you know what? I'm going to hop back one thing I missed. So I'm going to go back to just 2018. One thing that's really useful that PEPFAR puts out in these documents as well is not just how much money they're spending, but exactly what the money is supposed to do. So with all of their programming, or almost all of their programming, they set targets for what JPIGO should be doing with this money. So the way to find that is if I click on the mechanism, so this is like the different streams of funding that are going to JPIGO. I'm going to pick the biggest one here because that seems like the biggest pot of money here. So through this stream of funding to JPIGO, number whatever, they're getting $4.35 million. I might want to know exactly what is that money supposed to be doing. And if I click on it, it's going to take me to a very different page, which is the information just about this specific grant to JPYGO. And if we go over here on the left, we can see exactly what this grant is supposed to accomplish. So they're going to be doing VMMC is what all of the budget here is for. And we can see that as a part of that, they're going to be doing a few different things. And this is where knowing a little bit about what the MER indicators mean is going to be useful, but something we're going to talk about in a minute as well. So they're going to do, this is the code for testing, which they have to do in order to implement VMMC. And this is saying that they're going to target testing about 8,000 men in the 25 to 29 range. And presumably the idea here is if those men test HIV negative, then they're going to give them, they're going to offer them VMMC. And so oftentimes the easiest way to see what's going on is to look for sort of the biggest bin, because these are broken down into really fine pieces. But we can see, for example, in the VMMC program, how are they doing their age targeting here, right? The emphasis is very clearly on young men, 10 to 14, 15 to 19, especially being a big emphasis. And we can see what the overall number is. So depending on what the program is, there are a lot of different indicators that might show up here, and a lot of different ways that they cut the data and set their targets. Some of them are sort of like unrealistically fine, like they want to find 7 men who are over 50 who showed up at a facility for VMMC who are positive. That's probably not something they're tracking very closely, but things that they do track closely are things like how are we doing overall in terms of the number of VMMCs which were performed, but also are we hitting the right age groups? And this is a nice way to see how they're targeting that. I think I'll just talk about one more thing on the budgeting side here, and I'm probably spending a little bit too much time on this. But there's one of the things that some of the things that we care about oftentimes don't map very cleanly into the budget codes that they've laid out. VMMC is a really nice one. Testing, some of the treatment stuff fits really well there. But sometimes when we want to know about who is supposed to be getting the funding or which population is meant to be the target of that funding, it's a little bit harder to see from these documents. So PEPFAR has sort of a quasi way to do that, which is they have some funding that they think is cross-cutting, which means maybe it doesn't line up perfectly into one budget code like the VMMC funding does. And that might just be funding that targets a specific population, or it might be something like human resources, which probably impacts all areas of the program. And they do report on what they're budgeting for these. So as I said, several of the populations that Compass Coalition spends a lot of time advocating for more resources are, this is where we're going to go to see how the funding looks for those groups. So AGYW are here. As you can see, the spending on condoms is there. GBV services, human resources for health, which is a big emphasis as well, and KPs are also in here. Let's look at AGYW, even though that's quite new. There's only going to be 1 year of data on here. But we can see in Malawi, they had $6.4 million targeted to the AGYW group in 2018. And that's about the extent of the information that we're going to get here. But you can do the exact same thing to figure out what has been the funding to different KP groups or into human resources for health by going through that exact same process. So I'm going to switch gears really quickly and go over to the flip side of this, which I'll spend much less time on because I think it's a little more clear, which is the spending. So PEPFAR on the one hand over here has laid out what they plan to do with the money. And on the right here, they have a system which reports what they actually did with the money, which is a really useful, as Brian said, you can compare between these two things. But also this system that they've put out actually allows us to dive really, really deep to a specific, on three dimensions, who is getting funded, like who's supposed to be the recipient of the, or beneficiary of the funding. So you can see here, OVCs or pregnant and breastfeeding women or KPs, and specifically which group of KPs, by what they're spending the money on. So that's things like training or commodities or human resources. And also we can see what the program that they're spending on. So is it prevention or is it treatment or so on. So let's look at KPs here. If I click key populations, and let's just look at Malawi in the most recent year of data in 2019. How did they spend money on KPs? Well, they spent the bulk of their money on prevention. If I click on this little plus here, it will tell me how much went to sex workers, specific programming, how much went to MSM programming. And some of it is binned into this, just not disaggregated, which is fine. It just means that they didn't split it out into which specific group. But we can see how they're splitting the money up and what they're spending the money on. I'm losing that. Oh, sorry. The object and sub-object classes allow us to see like, okay, so they spent $2.6 million overall, and they're sending over half of that out to sub-recipients. The stuff that's staying around goes to some salaries and mostly stuff that seems like fringe benefits. This might be going to like large partners and not making it down to the ground, which is something we might want to check on. So that's the nice thing about the expenditure system is we can zoom in really, really fine like that. And before I go away from the COPS database, I'll just say on both this and the MER database, but maybe more so here, there's kind of like all different corners that you can get into to learn about the specific answer or campaign or whatever that you're trying to work on. We understand that sometimes the first pass through is useful to see how to do one thing, but if you're looking for something else, it's not obvious how to get there if you haven't done it before sometimes. So this is meant to just kind of show you how to ask questions about how to get to what you want, right? So that you know that there's information about KPs in a couple of different places on here. If you have a question about how to get to either of those, Brian and I are very happy to help navigate and get the information that you want. And the exercises for this week are also intended to help you figure out how to get into those corners and figure out the answer to the question that you have. So I'm going to flip over to our other database now, which is the MER database, which is kind of the complete other side of this picture. So PEPFAR spends money, they budgeted, they laid out targets, and the MER database tells us how did they actually do on those targets that they set out for themselves. So this comes from another part of the PEPFAR world, which is their own data dashboard, which frankly is very hard to work with. But they've done this nice thing for us where they put it all into one file at our request that we can just download and put into our own system over here. So let's flip to Zimbabwe and see what we can find out about the program in Zimbabwe here. So this is the homepage for the for Zimbabwe. If I click on Zimbabwe, this is the default. It takes me to the treatment page. And the thing to keep in mind here is the data that they're going to show us, that this site is going to show us, is the most recent data that's come across. So here, this is the Q1, which for PEPFAR runs from October through December of fiscal year 2020. So that was actually in 2019. But the first quarter of the 2020 fiscal year, what's happened with TX New? So for people who have been in the PEPFAR space for a long time, these codes and collections of letters make sense. This means that it's treatment and it's the number of people newly enrolled on treatment. Do a little helpful thing here to help figure that out. If at any point you're not sure, you can click on this full details list or go to the about page here, and it has a long guide on what each of these things are. There's some really high level information about the treatment program here, which I'm not going to go into right now, besides to go all the way down to the bottom where we can see what PEPFAR will often call the testing and treatment cascade. So this is a really useful thing to be able to look at the district level. So for each district, it has how many people did they test and what was the target for that. So through the first quarter of the year, they should be at about 25% on this. How many positives did they identify, and does that meet the target? We have this column here, which is the yield, so the percent of people who tested positive, which is an important PEPFAR metric. And then of those people who tested positive, how many made it on to treatment? So we want this to be as close to 100% as possible. Everybody who tests positive should be initiated onto treatment. And finally, how many people are currently on treatment? And the big thing to know about the MER database is this box right here, which allows us to go to the full list of indicators that PEPFAR reports on. So we could go see TX New, or maybe let's just look at posting, just look at pause. So this is new HIV positive tests. And we can see on the map here where sort of darker colors are more people being identified as positive. But we can hover over any of these to see, for example, in Harare, that they had 7,300 people test positive in the first quarter, which is about 15% of their target. Seems like they're a little bit off track. Another way to see that is on this performance against target view, which allows us to see the same map, but sort of color-coded by how far along are they. So 25% is the target, since this data is through the first quarter of the year. And we can see only the places that have light green and dark green are at least 25%, and those in the various shades of orange are not. The next thing we can see is how has this evolved over time? Are they making progress? Or are they not making progress? And how have the targets changed from year to year as well? We have a graph showing the district performance, which kind of splits people out by, this is the size of the target. So, or as you go this way, it's districts with higher targets. So the biggest one in Zimbabwe is Harare, all the way over here. And it's meant to show that, is it just the small, those with small targets who are beating their mark for 25% achievement? And yeah, it kind of looks like it is. And the last thing is that we can zoom into the district level. So here we have, so let's go back to 2019 instead of 2020. We can see for each quarter, how the district is. So this is Bulawayo, Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4. We can see all of that data here. And we can also see it by implementing partner. These are anonymized here, but we can sometimes figure out who these different partners are. And this is nice to see. Is it just one partner who's missing their mark? And the last thing to say is sometimes we really want to zoom in and just look at one district. So let's say we're just going to look at Bulawayo in Zimbabwe. If I just click on Bulawayo, first of all, the table will only show that. But also, if I go back up here, this graph has updated to only include Bulawayo now. So now I have a graph of how positives in Bulawayo have been over the past 4 years or so on a quarter-to-quarter basis. And again, you can do this for any of the indicators on this list and any of the districts in the country. With the caveat that some of them have only started reporting more recently, so you probably won't see all of this data. And some of them, as Brian said, don't report every quarter. So for like TB and KPs, we only see those every 2 months. Let's just flip to one of those so that we know what it looks like really quickly. KP Prev is the target or the indicator that they track for key population programming. And you can see they only report what happened in 2018 Q2 and in Q4 and then 2019 Q2, Q4. So these are being reported twice a year. We also have fact sheets that have a lot of this information easily downloadable. And the last thing, which I said before, is it's easy to get lost in the PEPFAR speak. What we've done, what we've tried to do here is on the About page, lots of information about where this comes from, but also this long list of the PEPFAR speak indicators, what do they mean? So what does it mean for someone to be counted as having received TB Prev, TB preventative therapy, and how is it collected? So I think that's all I'm going to say on that, recognizing that I've gone quite a bit longer than I planned to go. Brian, do you want me to go through the scenarios, or maybe we should pause for questions first?
Yeah, I think we can pause for questions if anybody has questions or, you know, wants us to look at, if you've had questions about how to look at anything specifically on the dashboards, it would be useful to do that, and we can go from there. Otherwise, we have a scenario or two that we could go through to help think through how to access the data and remembering where the individual data come from as well. So, I mean, I guess at this point, we would open it up to questions first. If there's a particular data point that you would like us to show you how to get to, or that you've had trouble finding, or to just see if it exists within the data sets.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Nelson.
All right. Thank you, Brad, for asking for the web presentation. I have one question for Austin. Just on the data that he has just showed on the from Zimbabwe, mm-hmm. just to understand more on the interpretation of attain scale up saturation, centralized supported in the naughty set. Yes, yeah, on the district priority there. Exactly.
Yep, I gotcha. Yes. Thanks. That's a really good question. So I think it makes sense if we look at something like TX New, which is reported in virtually every district that PEPFAR does programming in. So the question is about these district priority settings over here on the left. And what this is PEPFAR has a system for how they plan their investments. They don't invest in all of the places in the country equally. Some of these have sort of collapsed over the years, but generally, there's a split between things, districts which are attained or scale up, and places which are centrally supported or not set or something else like that. And the thing to know is that the attained and scale up districts are where PEPFAR is doing their most sort of intense investments and programming. And sometimes in the centrally supported and not set districts, they're doing more technical assistance instead of providing the commodities or the workers or the actual programming in those places. So the reason that they're here is they're selectable. And what we can do is say, okay, this was the target for the whole country and this was the result for the whole country. If we select the attained and scale up districts only, we're leaving out those which PEPFAR is not really doing so much work in. Sometimes it's useful to be able to zoom into this group here. Or sometimes it's useful to just look at what's happening in those other districts, which are pretty much one, it looks like, in Zimbabwe. In other countries, sometimes that's quite a lot of the districts that they're working in.
Yeah, I would just add, I think people may remember the discussion on these district priorities. They were something PEPFAR started doing back in 2014, and it was called the pivot, where PEPFAR prior to 2014 just said, we're going to invest everywhere, or we give money out and not really choosing sort of the geographic area where we're going to do work, but we're going to trust the partners to really sort of move in that direction. There was obviously some oversight of that, but what the pivot was about was saying, we really need to focus our resources, because we know we don't have enough resources to respond to the epidemic everywhere. So PEPFAR was saying, we are going to decide that we're going to put our resources, most of our resources, or the vast majority of our resources, into a few districts where we think we can have the most impact. And so that's what they've started doing, is then saying, okay, the attained districts are those that have already reached 90-90-90 targets. And then the scale-up districts are those that are still in the process of getting there and where PEPFAR is investing most of its money. And then the centrally supported are somewhat that, as Austin said, had some, used to have PEPFAR programs in them and now get a little bit of support still in sort of technical assistance roles or things like that. But they're supposed to expand those over time. So as we reach more and more districts being in the attained category, we should see more districts start going into being scale up and drop out of being centrally supported until we get everywhere being covered. But that was the idea, and this just helps you see where is PEPFAR really actively working versus where are they sort of passively working.
Thank David,
you I see
so
you've
much.
Got your hand up.
Good afternoon from Malawi. So I joined in late at some network problems. Maybe two questions. One, of course, it looks very easy when you I think when Austin was going through it, in this session, it sounds very easy. But when you're on your own, sometimes you fumble and juggle. But thanks for that. So my questions, this is AMFAR website. If we went to the PEPFAR website, would we be able to get the kind of information that is on AMFAR website? And part of that question is where there are variations, where do we trust? What do we trust? Do we trust PEPFAR? Do we trust AMFAR? And then how are issues of underreporting or overreporting taken care of by this kind of data, for example, which has been posted here? What I'm saying is, if we went on the ground and kind of verified, would we have the same kind of picture? What would be the experience? So that's one. The other question is to do with, we know in country, for example, in Malawi, sometimes it's not very easy to get a district data like you were showing here, for example, in Zimbabwe about Bulawayo, and I know it's the same for everywhere for districts. But if one wanted to dive to a facility, again, how is it? Because I didn't see you go down to a facility in the district, because that's where a lot of issues emanate from at the district. So that is my second question. But maybe back to where I began, where the issues of underreporting, overreporting, and use that information for advocacy in terms of engaging, especially government or PEPFAR itself. And then they kind of quiz you to say, where did you take that data? Because to them, that sounds either on the higher side or it's on the lower side. So how can that be dealt with? Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David. Go ahead, Brian.
And I'll just start, and Austin can join in. Just a couple of points. In terms of what's available on the AMFAR site versus what's available on the PEPFAR site, it differs based on which database you're looking at. So the MER database, the one we're looking at here, that has all of this performance data on the quarterly reporting and all of that, there's nothing on here that is not on, that doesn't come directly from PEPFAR's version of their data site. We have just packaged the exact same data to make it easier to use. And that's powerful because it really is just their data being presented on this site. So, but if you're on the COP side, the funding side, the expenditure data on the COP site, again, comes directly from PEPFAR. That's 100% from PEPFAR. But the budget side is data that we have pulled from the documents, and we actually got a request from PEPFAR itself, from the CDC, asking to have access to those data because they don't have access to some of those data anymore, some of the historical record of what PEPFAR has been doing. So there, that is a data set that we have really pulled together, and that's unique on our side from the funding side, from the budget side, in terms of how deep it goes into the implementing partners. On the underreporting and overreporting and that sort of thing, the piece to keep in mind about the MER system is it is this tally-based system. And so it, you know, we are presenting the PEPFAR data as the PEPFAR data are presented on their site. We can't get into details about, you know, when is that over-reporting and when is that under-reporting. And David, I know we spoke about this in Johannesburg during these most recent COP reviews, where it turns out it appears Malawi itself, particularly on the KP program, is reporting their data into PEPFAR headquarters incorrectly on the KP program. They're doubling the amount that they're reporting in quarter four of each year. Hopefully they're gonna fix that, but that's the same data that they are working from. We're working from the exact same data that PEPFAR headquarters is working from. So we don't directly resolve those issues, but that's just something that to be aware of. On the facilities data, this is something we are going to try and build into the MER database a little bit more. Austin, if you go back to the MER database quick, the only thing we've really exposed at present is over on the, where you see on the map, on the right-hand side below where it says achievement 16.14%. We do show how many facilities are reporting, or in the hover over, how many facilities are reporting in that district. We are trying to figure out good ways to show the different facilities themselves, particularly on some of these data around things like linkage, things like retention, where we could use some of that a little bit better. There's no way to really look at that on the PEPFAR system either, but we are trying to figure out a way to show those data a lot better as we go forward. But right now we just have them in bulk. So we could start investigating that with you if you have specific questions about how to find facilities. We can talk about doing that. And that's part of what the course should be about, is figuring out how do we download the data and utilize it in a way that can help us target those sort of facility level interventions.
Thanks, Brian. The only thing to add, just very quickly, because I think, as you said, really, really good and important questions, David. In terms of using the MER database to understand PEPFAR data and how to think about that, like AMFAR versus PEPFAR thing. So Zimbabwe, like several PEPFAR teams refer in-country civil society to the AMFAR site to look at PEPFAR data to prepare for things like the port meetings or for the COP process or in-country retreat, those sorts of things. Instead of referring them to the PEPFAR dashboard, they refer them here because it's the same data, but it's just in a different format that's maybe a little bit easier to navigate.
Did anybody else have questions? David, I hope that covered all the questions you had.
Yeah, sure. And thanks so much.
I guess the other thing, just quickly to say, is like it's really important to be asking questions about the data that are presented here. And so when, you know, like David was saying about overcounting or undercounting, like sometimes the data that are collected here don't match community experience. And that's like a clue to go digging a little bit further, right? So if the PEPFAR system, say on retention, so how are people staying on treatment after they've been put on treatment, is giving really good results, maybe in a particular district, but you know that there are on the ground issues at the clinic that are not, that seem like it would make it so people are not coming back to pick up their meds, or you know lots of people are not going back to pick up their meds. Trying to figure out why does the PEPFAR system think that people are staying there and we have community evidence that says otherwise, is important, because you want to solve the problems that you're seeing on the ground and that you know exist. And just because they don't show up here is not to mean that they should be dismissed, right? So it's important to ask questions like that.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, because it is just, this is what PEPFAR is making decisions. These are the data that PEPFAR is using to make decisions about their programming. And so regardless of whether, you know, if we don't believe their data, we need to point out why we don't believe it and why we see problems with it. Because if we don't, they are going to proceed as if it's true. And that's one of the important points about making these data available, is it's not endorsement that this is actually what's happening. It is stating this is what, how they're making decisions within the PEPFAR program. They're utilizing these precise data to make these decisions, and this is how they're viewing their own programming. If there's errors in these data, and there are errors in these data, then that's something for civil society to engage in and say, look, we recognize that you say you have an 87.5% retention rate, but you don't. And here's our explanation of why you don't and what's going wrong in the data. Otherwise, they are going to proceed as if it's true. Eric, I see you, if you've got a question.
Yes, thank you very much, Brian. Yes, you took us through the MER system. Now, when you read literature about PEPFAR and its MER system, they also talk about PORT. Can you explain maybe the difference between the MER system and what they refer to as POR?
I think I heard that. Did you say the APR system?
No, the MER.
Yes, so the MER system. Yes. And comparing it to which one?
The port.
The port.
Oh, the port. Go ahead, yes. Austin.
Yeah, so just a very, very quick answer. So MER, the MER system, is how there is basically this, the data, right? The definition for how they're going to count stuff and the targets, and then how well did they do against the targets. The ports are a series of meetings. They're basically quarterly, where the PEPFAR country team needs to report to the PEPFAR headquarters team on how the program has performed in that last quarter. And as part of that, they should also engage civil society. So the port is more of a like a check-in period and like a meeting. And the MER is the system that's collecting all the data that they're going to talk about at the port. So oftentimes, if you're invited to or you're going to attend the port meetings, having a little bit of a footing of like, what is, if the data for that quarter has been made available, it's good to check it before you go if you can, and see if you identify problems. And then if they're not raised at the port, you can say, what about this other thing that I saw? Or just to ask, sort of be prepared to ask sort of follow-up questions.
Yeah, I think the easy answer to that, Austin's covered it, is just the port is a meeting to discuss the MER data, is more or less how this works. It's utilizing these same data, the MER data. The port is just the process to discuss the MER data.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Are there any other questions before we close? Well, seeing none, please again, Austin and I will be on available for office hours tomorrow from 9 to 11 our time. And we would be happy if people have questions about how to access any of the data, if they want to go over anything within the MER or COPS database to look at this more closely. We can do that during those office hours as well. So please just let us know, and we're happy to do that.
Just one thing to flag is that actually this week overlaps with the Compass call, which is from 10 to 11 our time. So we will definitely be available in the hour before the Compass call, and maybe we can have some follow-up after that if needed. But yeah, thanks everyone so much. And we look forward to, we'll send back assignments from the first 2 weeks by the end of the week, as Brian said at the beginning. And I think that's it.
Great. Next week, we're looking at domestic resources as well. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
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 What about the people who knew? What about the people who knew?